I welcome everyone here to this moment in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We are still in the month of prayer, and this morning we are looking at the factors that amplify prayer effect, part 2. Factors that amplify prayer effect, and this is part 2. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. The Bible said, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting." Our objective is to identify the things we can do that can amplify the effect of our prayer. I gave 2 illustrations in the first service. I will give another illustration in this second service. When I'm talking about factors that can amplify prayer effect. Prayer can happen on its own. Prayer can be answered on its own. Prayer works on its own. But there are things you can do to make prayer's impact and effect amplified. For example, the earth of its own can bring forth the harvest of seed sown. But when the fertilizer is applied to that seed sown in the earth, the harvest is bountiful. The speed is multiplied. The result is drastic. On your own, you can get to the 60th floor of a skyscraper going through the staircase. But when you step into the lift, the speed is amplified. Energy is reserved. Stress is eliminated. That's exactly what we are talking about. When you pray, just praying, "Lord, Father, I come before you," it has results. But there are factors that amplify this result, that accelerate this result. We looked at 6 of them in the first service. And number 1 is praying with fasting. You can pray and prayers can be answered. But when you merge it with fasting, you multiply its effect. I'm not going to be able to talk about this now, but you can go through the YouTube or go through the online and be able to pick up the CD. So when you pray with fasting, you amplify the prayer effect. And we gave 2 reasons for that. Number 2 is praying in the spirit. You can pray in your understanding, and that is limited to what you understand. Do you understand? Praying in your understanding is limited to what you understand. Praying in the language you don't understand breaks into the realm of things you don't understand. Praying in the spirit. Number 3 is praying with vows and sacrifices. "Lord, I am asking you for this and for that, but I am placing this sacrifice on the altar, trusting you for answers. Lord, I make this vow. If you are going to do this or do that for me, I am going to come back and do this." That is praying with vows and sacrifices. You can look at again what was preached and get the detail of it there. It's an amplifier. Number 4 is praying for others in intercession. This is a situation where you have decided to forget about your problem. You decided to forget your case. You decided to forget that you have a challenge. And in the meanwhile, other people become your focus. They have become the focus of your petition to God. Like we said in the first service, it works by the seed principle and it works by the love principle. It's an amplifier of your prayer. Job's captivity only got turned when he prayed for his friends. Number 5 is praying for kingdom advancement. When your prayer life is not just what God can do for you, but the advancement of God's kingdom. Praying for revival to happen. Praying for souls to be saved. Praying for lives to be changed. Praying for church to explode. Praying for the afflicted in the services. When you do that, you amplify your personal prayer effect. And number six is praying with vision. That is, you are not just praying and asking God to do something for you. You are praying with the picture of the answer. How the answer look like. What you are asking God for. When it happens, how does it look like? While in the course of praying, you saw yourself in the realm of the answer. You are not waiting for it to be answered first. You saw yourself in that realm. These were six things we dealt with in the first service. And I believe, if you are to go over it again, the Bible says, once God has spoken, twice have I heard. You can get the detail of it by listening to the message of the first service. We are now going to the other six, which takes us to point number seven, and that is praying in the midnight. Praying in the midnight. Praying in the midnight is an amplifier of prayer effect. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to verse 26. Bible said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed at midnight. They could have done prayer in the daytime, but they needed to do another one in the midnight. And then sang praises unto God on top of the prayer. And the prisoners heard them. So in this verse particularly, we see two of those keys right there. I'll talk about the other one later. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was an earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Praying in the midnight. Genesis 32 verse 24. And all the way to verse 28. We saw Jacob wrestling in the night. Middle of the night. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Time alone with you, O Lord. And there wrestled a man with him. Until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. As he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go for the daybreaker. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Praying in the midnight is an amplifier of prayer effect. And there are two things to note concerning this in the midnight. Two things about the midnight. Number one, the night season is a season of high spiritual activity and transaction. High spiritual activity. High spiritual transaction. That is why the Bible said in Matthew chapter 13 verse 25. It said, but while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. It's a time for high spiritual activity, high spiritual transaction. Jacob became Israel in the night. The children of Israel left Egypt in the night. Paul and Silas' destiny got changed in the night. Then was the mystery secret revealed to Daniel in the night. It's a time. That is why the occult, the Satanist, they do a lot of activities in the night. Witchcraft happens a lot in the night. People's destinies are turned upside down in the night. Occultic processions start 12 midnight on the dot in the night. When they go, initiations into the cult, whether it is campus cult or the bigger occult, all is in the dead of the night. And it is in this night season that most Christians are sleeping. Thank God for the commanding the day midnight prayer. that is tackling the devil in his field. Give the Lord a praise. So praying in the midnight, because the midnight, the night season, is a season of high spiritual activity and transactions. Number two, the night season is a season of spiritual signals transmission. Spiritual signals transmission. It is easy to hear, easy to see, and in fact, natural to dream dreams in the night. Natural. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 29 to verse 30, Isaiah chapter 30, 29 to 30, he said, he shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, gladness of heart. Then verse 31, 30, he said, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard in the night. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard in that night. Now Daniel chapter 2, and in verse 17 to 19, we are seeing Daniel receiving. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire message of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. I like you to understand, night vision is not, it's not talking about dream. A dream is what you see when you are asleep. A vision is what you see when you are awake. Alright? So he was awake in the night, still probably praying, and then the vision came in that night. That is why nighttime amplifies your prayer effect. Because you get the visions, you get the revelations, and you get the things to pray about. And then you are dealing with the devil at the time when he's fully awake and fully at work. Hallelujah. And so, praying in the midnight is number one for this service, and that's number seven overall. Number eight, the next one, is praying prayers of inquiry. I thought we dealt with that already, so you can bring it up automatically. Praying prayers of inquiry. Prayers that ask questions. Most times people pray and just go and keep on, for me, the use of the word bamboozling God with a lot of information, a lot of things. But there are times to ask questions. Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 16, he said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they say, we will not walk in. You are restless, you are stressed up. What you are looking for now is not continuous praying, but immediate insight. You need to know something. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 33. He said, call unto me and I will answer you. And part of your answer from God most times is a revelation, is a light. I will show you great and mighty things which you knew not. You say, I'm old enough to be married, I am not yet married. Give me a husband. God is saying, it's not a husband you need yet. I want to show you something. I need more money. It's not money you are looking for. There is something I want you to know that we need to handle first, that will now open you up to getting married. So there is the time to pray the prayer of inquiry. Lord, open my eyes to see why I'm where I am. Open my eyes to see the road forward. Somebody say loud amen. We already read Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 to verse 19, Jeremiah chapter 3, and in verse 33. Now, what is the impact of the prayer of inquiry? Two things again. One, prayers of inquiry helps to unveil the roots of issues. Prayers of inquiries, helps to unveil the root of issues that can be tackled to produce desired results. That is, at the place of inquiry, why is this business not growing? One day, Papa Yedepo went to God and said, Lord, why is this church not growing? That is the Winner's Chapel then, as at 40 something years ago, around the year of 1984. Why is this church not growing? And God said, come, let me show you. And he came out and he saw a blanket of thick darkness on top of the church building. And he said, that is the veil that has covered this church and is causing people to misrepresent what I do. So they see it and think it is of the devil. What do I do, Lord? He says, speak now and cause the darkness to return back to hell. For the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So, the prayer of inquiry, oh Lord, help, help. Oh Lord, the church must grow. Church must grow. I command church. You say, why is it not growing? It's an inquiry. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? They help to unveil the root of issues that can be tackled to produce desired results. Secondly, prayers of inquiry helps to identify action steps, to uncover steps or identify steps that must be taken to produce desired results or victory. When you make inquiry, you are at times told the steps to take. They help to uncover, identify steps, action steps that must be taken to produce desired results of victory. Jehoshaphat and the army of Israel, they were surrounded in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 1. Now by the time you reach verse 12, Masha Kokobagadayada. Ammonites, Moabites, Edomites gathered against Judah. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. In other words, Lord, show us what to do. If you shift now to about verse 15, then there came the Spirit of the Lord upon Jehazaniah, one of them, and he said, hearken, ye old Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. Now you are asking God what to do. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, you see, he's giving them steps. Our eyes are upon you. Want to know what you are saying? Go down against them. See, behold, means see. They are coming by the cliff of Ziz. He's giving them detailed direction. You will find them at the end of the brook. Ay, 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 ay. Before the wilderness of Jeruel. If you want to give the Lord the praise, give him the praise. Somebody seated here today shall locate specific direction, precise instruction, precise direction that will terminate every crisis around your life. You believe it, shout the loudest amen. They got the direction not to fear. They now knew where the enemy was coming from. Instead of going in another direction and they are ambushed from the back or tackled from the back, they know exactly where the enemy is coming from. Then they receive further instruction. The appointed men, they should praise the Lord. And as they began to praise, the enemy finished themselves. The enemy finished themselves. Isn't that better than praying endlessly for situation to change? When God is trying to give you instruction, direction on steps to take, you won't miss your step. That amen can be better. On the matters of destiny, you will not miss your step. On the matters of marriage, you will not miss your step. On the matters of business investments, you will not miss your steps. If you believe, shout the loudest amen. that he is praying prayers of inquiry. Number three, which is number nine actually, is praying with thanksgiving and praise. You see, there are people who don't understand thanksgiving. They don't understand praise. When your prayer is laced with thanksgiving, laced with praise. Psalm 100 verse 4, he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Somebody say a loud amen. We already read the other one of Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to verse 26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, something happened. Jonah, in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 10, Jonah was in the belly of the fish. He prayed all manner of prayers, nothing changed. Then he now said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Then the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Somebody say a loud amen. God is about to speak to his system to release your destiny. He's about to speak to a prison to release your life. The believers say, Lord, amen. There are two things that we should understand about thanksgiving and praise. Number one, thanksgiving and praise grants access and audience with God. It grants access and audience. How do you want to communicate with a person whose audience you don't have? Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts. Enter his gate with thanksgiving, go to his house with praise. You don't have thanksgiving and you don't have praise and you are talking to him. You are outside the gate. What is the extent of shouting? You will shout for a man to hear you from outside the gate. He may have sent for police. See, there is a man outside the gate screaming. He has not entered the gate. Neither has he knocked on the door. He hasn't entered the house. And he is talking to you. That's what most people do with God. You enter into his gate. Enter into his house. Then you start talking. That's why some of us are so loaded with praise and worship climate. My wife said, you know when I am coming? By the sound you hear as I'm approaching. Sound of deep worship or the sound of tonguing. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Second thing to note. When we pray, God hears. But when we praise, God moves. For the Most High God inhabits the praise of his people. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Psalm 22 verse 3. I'll give a third point for this one. Thirdly, when you appreciate God for what he did before, he qualifies you for what he will do again. When you appreciate God for what he did before, himself qualifies you. That praise, that action qualifies you for what he will do again. Jesus could not bless the bread, could not do nothing with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes until he first gave thanks. John chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 12. Hallelujah. Many people don't see the kind of results they need to see with God. The kind of manifestations they need to see with God. Because they are busy grumbling and complaining about everything. I am not where I want to be. But by his grace, I'm not where I used to be. When this church was 50-something people, 80-something people, 90-something people, we didn't preach less. We didn't dance less. We didn't celebrate less. It was the same fire. It hasn't dropped. Even on a crusade ground in Pakistan or anywhere, and a headache was healed, we will dance as if we have not seen the healing of a blind eye before. Or that somebody came out of a wheelchair before. You mean he said he came here with headache, he's healed? Lift your hands. Whenever you take God for granted, you end up grounded. There are many people whose lives, whose destinies, everything is grounded because God has been taken for granted. You end up grounded because God has been taken for granted. Beloved, I admonish you. If we are going to see the manifestation of God like never before, give him the praise. Praying with thanksgiving. That is number 9. Number 10 is praying for the nation in intercession. Praying for the nation. And when I say the nation, I'm talking of your nation. Your nation. Praying for your nation in intercession. Psalm 122 verse 6. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. This represents the literal Jerusalem, and it also represents your Jerusalem. Wherever is your own Jerusalem, wherever is your own root, your own root. Now look at Jeremiah 29 verse 7. When the children of Israel were taken into captivity in Babylon, look at God's instruction for them. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives, even in their captivity. And pray unto the Lord for that city, for that nation. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Where do you think anything succeeds in crisis? In the peace thereof will you. If God will ask them to pray for the peace of the country of their captivity, how much more the country of their nativity? Praying for the nation will do 2 things for you. Number 1, to pray for your Jerusalem is to prosper in all you do in that land. All you do. Including prospering in your prayer life. To pray for your Jerusalem is to prosper in what you do in that land. Nobody can genuinely prosper in a land they hate. That prosperity is limited. That is what our country, our Nigerians do to themselves. We're in America last month, July, on their Independence Day. We had a program. I think we have a clip here. Oh, we are still in July. Oh, say last month. The days are just this month, a few weeks ago, too many activities. Come with your flag. You need to see the patriotism. You need to see the love. Big flag, all manner. Somebody dropped a flag on the ground. A woman said, that flag is on the ground. Pick it up. Their flag is not permitted to lie down. Stand it up. God Bless America is a standard song that is sung everywhere. In God We Trust is on their currency. How will that not be the reference currency of the world? Anywhere you go, you can spend dollar. Can you spend naira everywhere? Or any other currency for that matter. Anywhere you go. That is the level and the people, the citizens, the indigenous are prospering in their land. So today everybody want to run there and live there and declare themselves captives. Refugee. Asylum. Do you understand what I'm talking? Look at that. Come with flags, they came with big ones. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you prosper. Now, for as long as God has given you this nation as your nation, you have no other choice but to love it. That is why we are still here. There is opportunity to go. Somebody say, if they don't want you in Nigeria, come to America. Everywhere. I say, they want us here. We want ourselves here. We are valued everywhere globally, including Pakistan. Everywhere globally. High, the low, the middle. But we chose to be here. Because we know there is destiny here. We know there is a purpose and a plan of God here. And we know the agenda of God here must come to pass. Somebody give the Lord a big clap and a louder shout of praise. Number two, and that was Psalm 122 and in verse 6. Number two, peace is the portion of those who pray for the peace of their nation. When I said peace, I want you to put in bracket, the word peace is shalom, and it means wholeness, nothing lacking, nothing missing. So peace. In bracket, wholeness, nothing lacking, nothing missing, bracket close, is the portion of those who pray for the peace of their nation. That is, you are in the realm, peace, wholeness, nothing lacking, nothing missing, is the portion of those who pray for the peace of their nation, according to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. It's taking you such a long time to display the second point on the screen. Wholeness. Somebody say wholeness. Say wholeness. Nothing lacking. Nothing missing. It's my portion. So the first thing I said is to pray for your nation, your Jerusalem, is to prosper in all you do. And that includes prospering in your prayer life. Number two, peace. That is shalom. That is wholeness. That is nothing lacking, nothing missing. Is the portion of those who pray for the peace of their nation. Is the portion. Nothing lacking, nothing missing. And if God said it, it is true. It's not subject to any negotiation. It's true. That's point number 10. Now number 11, and then before we draw the curtain, is praying with kingdom service. When you don't just pray, but you are active in the work of the kingdom, your prayer is answered with speed. Active in the work of the kingdom.
Exodus chapter 8 and in verse 1, he said, "Let my," and the Lord spake unto Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Let my people go." Exodus 23, 25 and 26. Exodus 23, 25 and 26. "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water." You are not even praying about it yet. He said, "And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill." That service is covering everything. It's covering everything, including fruitfulness, health, long life. Just serving. You are not praying yet. No matter what you do, sir, ma, do something in the house of God. If you cannot do anything at all, don't come to church with an empty car. Come accompanied. Let one soul get saved because of you. Two things I will say also concerning service as we rush. Number one, serving God is the easiest way to attract all that others pray for. Serving God is the easiest way to attract all that others pray for. He said, "You shall serve the Lord your God." People pray for the blessing. Exodus 23, 25. "You shall serve the Lord your God and he will bless you." People pray for food. He will bless your bread. He will bless your water. People are praying for healing. He will take sickness away from the midst of you. People are praying to be married. He said you will not cast your young, no miscarriage, which means your marriage is guaranteed. People are praying for fruit of the womb. None shall be barren. People are praying not to die before their time. He said, "The number of your days I will fulfill." So serving God is answering your prayers before you pray the prayer. Your prayers are being answered before you prayed the prayer. The prayers that others prayed are answered by your service. Finally, second point here. The place of service is the place of answered prayer. It's another way to say it. Because in Luke chapter 1, verse 7 to verse 13, Zechariah was serving when the angel came to tell him that his prayer was answered. He wasn't praying then, but the angel came to let him know, "Your prayers are answered." He wasn't praying then, but the prayers were answered. Hallelujah. Answered prayer awaits at the point of service. Finally, number 12 is praying in agreement with the brethren. It's possible to pray on your own, but when the prayer becomes an agreement prayer, its power is massive. When we stay at Command the Day Midnight Prayer, we are not just praying individually, we are praying together. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are praying together. When a corporate fasting is declared, 7 days mid-year fast, 21 days beginning of the year fast, that is a corporate agreement. We are praying together. Even though we may present individual prayer points, we are praying together. You can have when we meet in the home church, the cell group, and we pray, we are praying in agreement. In the departments, we pray together. Maybe you have a Christian brother or sister. You hold hands to pray together. Now, look at that. Matthew 18 verse 19. He said, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Acts chapter 4 verse 31. When the apostles prayed together, the place was shaken. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word with boldness. That was the power of agreement. Paul the apostle was stoned and dragged out of the city to die. Acts chapter 14 verse 19 and 20. Look at that. He was stoned to death. Literally. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, concluding that he has died. They pulled him out as a dead body. How be it? The disciples stood round about him. That was an agreement in spirit. Whether they spoke with their mouth or they prayed in their heart, whatever, there was an agreement, and he rose up and came into the city. And the next day, he departed. That is Paul, the apostle. Even himself needed agreement around him to dissolve the agenda of darkness. I pray for somebody here today, in the name of Jesus, your agreement of prayer today will produce your answers. Would you hold the hand of somebody and just agree with them? Say after me, say, Father, I am in agreement with this your child. I ask that you answer their greatest desires, their greatest needs at this moment. In the name of Jesus, go ahead, open your mouth and speak to God. In Jesus' precious name, you will have answers. Say a louder amen. Finally, two things to say about agreement, and then we are done. Number one, praying in agreement secures the commitment of God to answer. It secures the commitment of God. Praying in agreement secures the commitment of God, because God committed himself. He said, if two of you shall agree as touching anything, Matthew 18:19. We didn't ask him to say that. He said it of his own volition. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Praying in agreement secures the commitment of God to answer. He committed himself to answer. And we are securing that commitment as we agree to pray. Am I communicating at all? And secondly, praying in agreement amplifies the effect of the faith of the individuals in agreement. Praying in agreement amplifies the effect of the faith of the individuals in agreement to produce desired results. Why do I say so? Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 to verse 12. He said, two are better than one. So, my faith and your faith together is better than only my faith. See? Because they have a good reward for their labor. If the one fall, the other will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. Then he said, again, if two lie together, then they can have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That is, I join agreement with you, and both of us join with God. Me agree with you. You agree with God. You agree with God. One, two, three. It's not broken. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's very, very critical. It is the synergy of spiritual energy. That is what happens in agreement. We are synergizing our spiritual fire, synergizing our faith, synergizing our revelation, synergizing our effort. And when we have a synergy of energy, it is compulsory to have the amplification of impact. Stand up on your feet this moment. Hallelujah. And that is why, if you are ever married, husband and wife, understand agreement. It's one of the strongest agreements on earth. is the one between the man and his wife. That is why one of the greatest assignments of Satan is to cause crisis in marriages. Home. The husband and the wife, they don't see eye to eye. That is an agenda from hell. It will never be your portion. Stand up on your feet. And two things I gave as counsel in the first service, determine to amplify your prayer effect by the factors that amplify prayers. Determine. Decide. Somebody may determine, okay, today I want to raise a sacrifice. I have prayed on this matter for a while. Father, I drop this sacrifice on the altar. Determine to amplify your prayer effect by these factors. And number two, that endeavor to practice the things you hear. And now, let's go over the 12. And I want you to read it together with me. Endeavor to practice the things that you hear. Let's go over these factors that will enhance our prayer life. Number one, praying with fasting. Number two, praying in the spirit. Number three, praying with vows and sacrifices. Number four, praying for others in intercession. Number five, praying for kingdom advancement. Number six, praying with vision. Number seven, praying in the midnight. Number eight, praying prayers of inquiry. Number nine, praying with thanksgiving and praise. Number 10, praying for the nation. Number 11, praying with kingdom service. You are not just praying, you work for God, you lead souls to Christ. And number 12, praying in agreement with the brethren. The Lord shall hear us in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and thank the Lord for what we have heard so far. Say, Father, say, Father, thank you for your word to me. Today, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Again, Father,
thank you
for your word,
to
me today.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive the grace to put the word
into practice.
Oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, open your mouth, pray. Pray for the next 2 minutes or 1 minute. Father, my shady, I love to so to find a hard. Let us say the Vera to Sonanina, Blanca, Santa Sola, over the Sonia. Let us set a fit of such a fit lady, and another over the Soto Santa Maria. Let us set a fit of Sona, Father, we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. And everywhere you are this moment in need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness for sins, and make today a new day in your life, I'd like you to come forward here. I'm going to pray for you. You're saying, Pastor, I need to hand over my life to Jesus. I need my sins forgiven. I want today to mark a new day for me. Pray this prayer with me, first of all, and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, no turning back. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please let's remain standing. Those coming, come forward fast. Give a song as they come forward. Those who minister to yesterday at in Kuje, you can also join us forward. And every other person.
I leave for
every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake,
I'm your
winner. Everybody see you, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I
pray for you alone.
Oh,
name of Jesus. Go ahead and give. Every moment I'm away, I'm away. Lift on your fountain, Lord, I give.
You have an addiction that needs to be broken. Smoking, Indian hemp addiction, cigarette addiction, alcoholic addiction, and any form of addiction. You want it broken. Step forward here and let us receive you. Whatever you think God is not happy with, you want it broken. Step forward here and let us receive you. God bless you. While they do that, and also first time at Dunamis Church, today is your first time, you haven't been here before. Please come and let us welcome you to church. We're happy to have you. We'll be glad to welcome you. And those from the Kuji area yesterday, can I see your hand up? We are so happy you came to church this morning. Give the Lord a big clap of hand for them.